1 Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation.
Well, praise the Lord, saints, and our listening audience. Here we are again, another Friday. Hope everyone has been blessed. I know we have. And we just come to you live every Friday at 8 o'clock p.m., and we just go as the Lord lead. That is our motto here at Kingdom of God Ministries. Usually, you know, we try to plan a sermon, but if God come in and he tell us to go a different route, we want to be obedient to the Spirit. Tonight, we are teaching on, tonight we will be bringing to you a question, and we are asking you the question, where will you spend eternity? Before we go into our lesson, I always like to open up with prayer. So I will do that, and then we will proceed into our lesson. Father God, we just thank you for another night, another day that you have made. And Lord God, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you for our listening audience. We thank the Lord for those who took time to tune in and hear the word of the Lord. And we ask, Lord, that when this word go forth, that it will fall on good ground. We ask that you take the stoppers out the ears and the blinders off the eyes so people will see and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And like I was saying, saints, we will be presenting you the question, where will you spend eternity? There's a lot of talk going on, a lot of different I would say heresies going on, and people are saying that everyone will be making it into heaven. I would hope so, but the truth of the matter, when we present this lesson to you, we will show you that not everyone will be making it into the kingdom of God. It's sad because we have so much word going on. We have not all churches are bad and not all people are bad. But the thing is, will you be making a choice to follow after Jesus? Because when we brought to you a message some weeks ago about apostasy, there is a lot of apostasy going on. And now people are saying in the churches that even Hitler could make it in. And you know that is not biblical. So that's why the Lord is telling us to study to show ourselves approved. Because we can't be driven, tossed by every wind and doctrine. We have to make sure it's sound doctrine according to the word. And so hopefully this is, we're going to shed some light on some of these scriptures and try to debunk some of these lies that's going on in the body of Christ deceiving God's people. And after we present this to you, then hopefully you can make the decision. And if you want to make the decision, say, for instance, if you're not following after God, well, you can make that decision tonight because we have plenty of time. We have a 90-minute show tonight for the purpose of if someone wanted to call in, if someone need prayer. And I just want to give praise reports. We have been getting calls and people being set free from demonic oppression. And see, that's what the kingdom of God is all about. We can't just give you part gospel. We have to give you the full gospel, the unadulterated truth. And that's what we do. And we want to have a balance. So here at Kingdom of God, all right, saints, I'm sorry about that, and I don't know how much of that you heard, but I, like I said, we come against the enemy because for some reason Blog Talk just disconnected me, and that has never happened before. So we come against the forces of darkness that is trying to block you, lying spirit. You're trying to block this show from going forth. Well, we're going to proclaim, and we're going to teach it. Because no matter what you try to do, you cannot hinder the power of God. This word will go forth. And we come against any spirits that is trying to block the airwaves and dull the senses for the word will not go forth. And we come against you right now and we bind you up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, I just wanted to say that because that was very unusual. You know, I'm talking, going forth, and all of a sudden it just disconnected. The devil is a lie. So, like I was saying, we're going to come to you, teaching you, giving you the opportunity to make a decision. If you should die tonight, where will you spend eternity? Like I was saying earlier, if you didn't hear me, I'll repeat that. There's some lies or rumors or heresies going forth saying, stating that everybody is going to heaven, nobody is going to hell. Doesn't matter how you live, you can live like hell, but you going to heaven. They're even saying Hitler will make it in. And you know that's a lie from the pits of hell. So what I'm going to do tonight, let's bring it out, and I'm going to give you both sides. I'm going to give you the perspective of hell, and I'm going to give you the perspective of heaven. So after I present you the scriptures, we stick strictly by the scriptures. Everything that I bring to you tonight is out the word of God. And we do use the King James Version here. That is our preference here on Kingdom of God Ministries. But first of all, we're going to be talking about some of the scriptures in the Bible about hell. And when the Bible referring to hell out of certain scriptures, now there's Hades and then there's Gehenna. And Gehenna is a city in the New Testament in the early Christian writings. It represents the final place where the wicked will be punished or destroyed after the resurrection of the dead. Jesus uses the word Gehenna 11 times. Now, if it wasn't that important, Jesus wouldn't have used it 11 times to describe the opposite to life in the kingdom. It is a place where both soul and body could be destroyed in unquenchable fire. Gehenna is derived from a place outside of ancient Jerusalem, known in the Hebrew Bible as the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, one of the two principal valleys surrounding the old city. In the Hebrew Bible, the site was initially where apostate Israelites and followers of various Baal and Canaanite gods, including Moloch, sacrificed their children by fire. And I looked, at the ruins when I went to the encyclopedia, you could see the Valley of Gehenna, but it was just all like burnt, and it was just an unsightly, ungodly looking place. And so that was like in the literal sense, but Jesus is talking about it in the spiritual sense. So if you can imagine, if in the earthly sense it looked that bad, think about where hell, how hell really looked. Now, here are some scriptures, you know, and I'm looking at so many people is leaving here. So, I mean, it doesn't matter your class, your status, how much money you have, how little money you have. People is dying. And now, you see, every day you turn on the news, someone is dying. The question is, did they have a relationship with God? Because we all will die. But the question will be, where will you spend eternity? I wanted to read to you out of Hebrews 4 and 7. It says, again, he limits it a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, he's saying, harden not your heart. And see, when you harden your heart, that is something you do consciously. When the word go forth, you have an opportunity. That's why I prayed earlier that it falls on good ground. Because if you harden your heart and you say, well, that ain't for me, then you're hardening your heart where the word can't go in and penetrate that. So that's why, Father, we just ask that you break up the fallow ground, which is that heart, so they can receive the word with gladness. Don't get in your mind. Don't go trying to decipher, is this true or not? Just take the word of God for what it says. The word of God is true. It says now in Luke 18:23, this is talking about the rich young ruler, and I know you've heard the message on it time and time again about the rich young ruler. But what people don't really say is he made a decision to turn away from God. Listen to this. He say, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And God emphasized that because his heart was more toward that, the money, than to God. And God, knowing all things, God knew his heart. That's why he told him, sell all that you have and follow me. And you say, well, Sister Kathy, what are you talking about? It's going to take some sacrifices. You have to lay down your life and follow God. And when he say lay down your life, that means you don't hold on to your little pet sins and say, well, I'm going to follow God. God say he wants you to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable servant. And here's some, I'm just reading some scriptures, and here's another one. This is about God is just telling people that it's going to come a day when you will have to make a choice. You can't ride the fence. You can't be straddle the fence. You got to make up your mind. He said, this is Luke 12:13-21. And one of the company said unto him, master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room or to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, that's the mentality of the world today. Eat, drink, and be merry. You have more than you can live by. Just eat, drink, and be merry. He said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. Now you think about it. We have had some rich people living here in the past few years, in the past few weeks. The question was, had they laid up their treasures on earth, or did they lay them up in heaven? I'm not the judge, but God knows it. But that's why he was giving you the parables of the rich people, because a lot of times they think their money is going to get them a special place in the kingdom. It may get you a special place in this world, but God don't look at your money like that. You see what he said? He said, so he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. God don't even look at your riches, because he is all riches. So your money don't impress God. Everyone will give an account for himself. He said, and this is 2 Peter. He said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. And when you look up the word scoffers, it means mockers, people mocking and talking negative after their own lust. This is all you see in the world today. Also, 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So he was saying he doesn't want to see anyone perish. He wants everyone have an opportunity. Like I read earlier, the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Everyone has an opportunity to repent. It doesn't matter about your class, your status, which if you have money, if you don't have money. He said, whosoever will, let him come. And the reason we're teaching on this is because you don't hear a lot of this kind of teaching in the mainstream church. They'll teach you, like we say so many times, prosperity or cake bake kind of gospel. But nowadays, saints, and it's trouble going on in the land. Every time you cut the TV on, you see how demons is taking over people's minds. They're going out. People are killing up their whole families. Who do you think is doing this? It's the devil. He's getting them because they have their heart. If they can't, if they lose their job, you have seen story after story, people going out shooting up their family. This is the devil, and he's coming into people's mind. You see children in the last days. You see kids killing up their parents because of demons is loose, and that's why the church has to stop playing church and get real. And start teaching. People is dying, and some people are dying and don't know God. So as ministers of the gospel, we have to give you the full word of God. I'm not going to just teach you how to live your best years on life today. Because I know for a fact, after you leave this life, your life really is just beginning. Where will you spend eternity? Now, these are some references that God says to those who are disobedient. And this is coming out the word of God. So we're going to debunk the heresy that's saying everybody is going to make it into heaven. Because I'm sorry to tell you, everybody ain't going to make it into heaven. If you harden your heart and you don't receive Jesus, you won't make it in. This is Matthew 25:41. It says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, you see, he initially prepared that for the devil and his angels, but since people are so hard-hearted, they don't believe God, they're choosing, literally they're choosing to go to hell. You say, well, how is that? Because you harden your heart. When the word comes forth, you don't listen to the word of God. You won't let the word of God come into your heart. And then Revelation, he says, Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels was with him. So you see, the Lord cast him out. You can't get into heaven living any kind of way. Because if you're not obeying God, you're obeying Satan. Because I told you last week, there's only two kingdoms. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of Satan. It's just as clear as day. Psalms 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, this is coming out of the Bible. Psalms 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God. Matthew 5:22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. This is talking about Gehenna fire. Matthew 5:29, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So what God is saying in Matthew 5:29, if something is offending you and keeping you from making a choice to enter into the kingdom of God, he used a literal sense, it's better to cut that thing off than rather be thrown into hell, whole soul and body. You got your limbs, but you couldn't make a choice to follow God. This is what God is saying tonight. Today, the day you hear my voice, I'll reiterate it, harden not your heart. And so now we're going to go over, I read you a lot of, it's so many scriptures about hell, and I just can't get through all of them because I have a little, I guess it's about a 19-minute clip. I want to play that for you tonight, too. But let's listen to some of the scriptures regarding heaven. I told you I was going to give you the pros and the cons. The pros is you want to go to heaven. The cons is you don't want to go to hell. And some people say, well, they're trying to scare the hell out of us. Well, I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to enlighten you to make a conscious choice, a decision that you don't want to go to hell. So with us showing you the scriptures, hopefully you can make a conscious decision that you know you don't want to go to hell. Okay, these are just some various scriptures in heaven. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are promises of God. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for your reward is in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. That's Matthew 5:12. Matthew 5:20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall no ways enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then we have another one here. See, these are promises of God about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13:30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn. So you see, God is going to have he's coming, he's sending the angels, and he's going to do the separating. So that's why the prophets, the teachers is crying out now. They're saying, get your life together. If you got any kind of thing, that's hindering you from entering into the kingdom, if it's your money, if it's your girlfriend, boyfriend, lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. And here's another one, Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. See, these are promises of God for God's children, those that turn to God. He said, I will no ways cast you out. He said, and then you know about the rich man when he died. he was taken into the bosom of Abraham, but the other man who didn't receive God, he lifted his eyes up in hell. So there are so many scriptures, and like I said, I didn't want to go over all the scriptures, but I want to give you, this is a 19, 27 minutes, it's a clip, it's called Wake Up Church. Listen to that, and once you hear that, the next voice you will hear will be Minister Bobby. Amen? Amen. Be blessed.
The preacher said, don't despair. The disease of death is not rare, and you will leave here without losing a hair. Just open your mouth and let in the air. It is even okay if you shed a tear, for that would not be rare. He made me feel very swell by his magical spell, and I stopped dwelling on my fear, for I trusted all would be well. I tell you, beware of such an affair where you say a prayer and it's promised you'll be an heir, and that your soul will be spared. It makes you feel sure that you will endure, but he forgets to tell that you will not yell, so you'll be burning in hell. This man may now be preaching, but soon he'll be screeching. Just ask the Apostle Paul, for he will not be able to recall when a church is like a mall, where buildings stood tall and dresses were small, and no one responded to the gospel call. To say all you have to do is utter a sentence is the most shameful scam, and be sure it will have you damned. The sinner's prayer might have a good impression, but is full of demonic possession, and only leads to eternal transgression, for it is a false profession. For the Bible's sake, the sinner's prayer is fake. It's time to wake, for on judgment day you'll begin to say, I asked you in my heart, and he will say, depart. Every Sunday morning I would wake up and go to church and participate in the greatest idolatry you could ever imagine. The place might have been called a church, had a pastor, and even called the creator of the universe God, and even read straight out of the Bible. The fact was, I believed in an idol, a false god, and it had me on a path to hell. I believed in a God that allowed me to live in bondage to my sins and still believe that he let me into heaven. I believed in a God that would allow me to backslide and have my faith be shipwrecked, yet still believe I'd ever been saved to begin with. I believed in a false God that said all I had to do was at one point in my life say a prayer and ask Jesus in my heart. I believed in a God where I didn't have to renounce everything in my life and follow after him. I believed in a God that said my emotional feelings were more important than what Scripture says. I believed in a God that disconnected all biblical threats from reality. A God that had me on a broad way to heaven, not on a narrow one. A God that said to save my life for my sake and not to lose it for his. The idea that all I had to do was say that prayer had me damned, had me living a lie. Eternity is a long time. I pray anyone who is truly saved will stop playing games with the human soul. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is not one to distort. It's a gospel that will clear out the pews from the churches. For people love their sin and don't want to give it up. But if they do not, they will see nothing but hell. So that is why we must tell. Do not play games with salvation. The fact that hell exists and people have an eternal torment there will motivate anyone who is truly born again and regenerate to not pervert the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation is to be saved from what you were, a self-reliant sinner who had multiple pursuits in life. If you're living in the darkness and rely on a prayer you said years ago to save you, then mark it in the book. You're damned. The evidence that you are saved is that you no longer rely on yourself. You no longer live in bondage to sin. That you will seek God to be glorified in your life. You will love Christ more than anything. Because he replaced that heart of stone and he gave you that heart of flesh. And he caused you to walk and obey his statutes. When you seek for God to be glorified, there will be a full-fledged war against all sin that is in your life. For nothing else will matter but Christ. Nothing. Biblical salvation is simple. God saves you, and he becomes your very life. Millions are on the way to hell, yet believe they are not because of sinner's prayer. And that's what it is. The prayer a sinner says to deceive himself into believing he is truly regenerate and born again by the supernatural power of God. It is by false
power of a preacher who learned his doctrine from a verse taken out of context. Don't be deceived. Examine your lives and test yourselves. Don't be deceived.
My name is Jonathan Diaz. I am 21. And this year, God saved me through Christ. I was living in iniquity, sin, but I believed I was a Christian. I would talk about Jesus Christ, but I was dead in sin, so I was lost, but I knew of Christ. I knew of Christ. I didn't know who He was. I knew of Him. Why would high school, the end of my high school year, at senior year, is when the first time I started drinking. I started drinking and then cigarettes around November and stuff. And then later that year, it turned into marijuana. Then it turned into further lawlessness, just for my gratification, premarital sex and all that. I did drugs. I did cocaine for a week, and then I did pills. I did pills a couple times with my friend. We would go to strip clubs, do drugs outside of the strip club, and go in high on cocaine and all that. And it was disgusting, but I thought I was a Christian. My life was just... I was lost. The sad thing was, I didn't know it. I knew I was doing wrong, but Satan had me convinced I was saved. But I was sinning, so therefore I didn't know Christ. I didn't know God. I didn't know anything. I just knew sin. Whatever intellectual knowledge I had was just a lie. I had a girlfriend, which I thought was the best thing in the world, and it was for a while, until I put all my love and affection I gave to her. And of course, when you give everything to someone, they can let you down, especially when you put all your love, your time into one thing, into a person. It can let you down, whoever it may be. And things started happening. I wasn't as happy as I thought I would be. Then our relationship started to become violent. And it was just all sorts of lawlessness you can imagine. I bet you can imagine what things we would do. Drugs, alcohol, you know. It was just a sad life. But I didn't know it, that I was damned to hell. I knew it, but I pushed it away somehow. And now, as I started reading about Christ, the true glorious King, saving me from the hole, the death, the casket that I was locked in, He rescued me and He took me out. He took me out and gave me life and said, "That's not life, that's death. I'm going to show you what life is." And through His word, through prayer, He's been showing me who He is. He's been strengthening me ever since. Christ saves. And the big monsters in my life, like pornography, there would be times when I was thinking it would be too much. I would never be free from this. And now it's dead. And I have to be alert and in His word, always filled with His spirit, filled with Christ, dwelling upon Him to put to death the deeds of the body at work, wherever you may be, putting to death the deeds of the body by His Spirit. Yeah, I'm alive. For the first time in my life, I'm alive.
You will rarely find a message now on repentance.
at what has become of the world, Church of Christ, through you losing what you should have been. But God waits for his people. God waits for his people. When will they take the stepping stones God has placed in his word?
Church that has forgotten its foundations, a church that's turned away from its beginnings and begins to become a harlot church.
Just tell me how blessed I am. Just tell me I'm going to be powerful and popular and going to have no trouble in my life. Just tell me these things.
Watered down. Half-truths. This gospel says, just believe and get saved. There's nothing of repentance. Nothing of godly sorrow. Nothing of turning from your sins. Nothing about taking up your cross and following the Lord. But people who say a little prayer said, you're fine, you're good.
People believe that any standard, even if the New Testament is legalism and bondage and law. Any standard is law. I'm under grace, I can do anything. Oh, that's from the devil.
Now, we've revised that and said, if you can get people for 1 hour on Sunday morning in the building, that's the church. That's not the church. We can use every device we want to get people for 1 hour and keep it early and keep it moving and keep it going.
But that's not the church Jesus built.
And I'm embarrassed to be part of the church of Jesus today because I believe it's an embarrassment to a holy God. Most of our joy is clapping our hands and having a good time, and then afterwards we're talking all the drivel of the world.
Don't talk to us about holiness or separation from the world. We don't want to hear that, folks. People today don't want to hear anything they call gloom and doom. If it's not smooth, it's gloom and doom.
Well, friend, let me tell you lovingly, go to hell and live with all the scum of the earth. You like to drink, go with the drinkers. You like to lust, go with the prostitutes.
To have been covered in something deceptive, to find in the last moments of your life that the feet coming down the hallway are not taking you to heaven. You can get through the deception your whole life. You can even sing in the choir.
And I think we better watch this business of, you know, God loves you, God loves you, and all the bumper sticker sloppy evangelism. Will you remind people of the goodness and the severity of God? Will you remind them that there's a day when mercy is cut off forever? Will you remind them that people pray in hell but nobody ever answers?
But in spite of what God has spoken, they create a garment of fig leaves and they cover themselves and say, all is well, all is well. And they seek out a church that won't challenge their sin, that won't expose this hypocrisy for what it is. I'd rather you get mad at me and go to heaven.
This so-called love gospel today only reaches the flesh. It can't get to the heart. It can't dig into sin so that there can be a cleansing. And if I'm a surgeon of the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to put a bandage on you when you've got cancer sticking out of a bone or on your flesh. We're going to say, hey, we got to get in there. It has to be dealt with. And we do. I don't care if you like me, but I'm a good surgeon, and I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to get your cancer out.
This is the reason why some who are listening even now and will be listening to tapes in the future, you just can't lighten up and enjoy these theologically shallow experiences like so many around you are today. Everyone around you saying, oh, lighten up, lighten up. God's love, God's good, God's kind, God is nice. Come to church in your Bermuda shorts, stick your feet on the altar rail, have a coffee and cookies with us. We'll hear 3-point messages on nothing about God. But there's a stirring in you. There's a stirring in the true bride in this generation.
And I'm going to tell you something. A diluted gospel is no gospel at all.
Businessmen. They were crass businessmen coming into something that God said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. You're getting over on the people. Out with you.
And if you don't believe this is happening in our generation, I challenge you to go to a Christian bookstore this week and find the bestsellers. Ask them which are the bestsellers and look at them. Look at the covers. They're the images of men, not the images of God. 5 steps to be like me. 5 steps to better yourself. 5 steps to the new you. 5 steps to a wonderful destiny with their glossy faces on the cover. Not so subtly telling the Church of Jesus Christ. If you use the principles of God, You will look like me.
In the 14th chapter of Romans, and he says we. So he writes of even to believers at the judgment seat. We must all. There's no exception. We must stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You can't send your lawyer. You can't send a representative.
Because one day, it doesn't matter if your friends approve of you, doesn't matter how many albums you sell, one day the Bible says, I'm going to stand in front of the one whose eyes are like fire, and I can't get over on him. All of you that sing in that choir, it's not just if you're on your note, it's why you're on your note.
Can you see all the saints of all the ages, and Leonard Ravenhill is standing there before a Christ whose eyes are full of holiness, where the place is breathing holiness, where there's all the majesty of an awesome God? And he reads the record of my poor life before all the saints of all the ages.
Unto God, all you theologians reasoning out my theology. Says unto God, are you pure in heart?
And you became enamored with your own beauty. And your whole theological focus now is how you can be smarter, better looking, more prosperous. You lost the call of God, church.
You made it a place just to make a buck. So out with you.
Church of Christ with God, when will you grieve, moan, hunger, thirst of the righteousness?
Now I'm going to tell you something. A diluted gospel is no gospel at all.
Become new, but when the church is in the state we are, the standard is not preached or lived or presented. We need to seek God back for the standard of this book, not men's standard. What Christ says, I'm not presenting to you some holiness of a holiness movement. I'm teaching to you Christ's word that the only holiness is not heresy.
I want to challenge you with everything in me. Put away lifeless religion. Put away empty pursuits of God. Put away all of the deception of the carnal nature.
Holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's God's words, not mine.
Would to God that Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal pastors begin to stand up and see what's happening to the church that was once called the Church of Jesus Christ. Backsliding, turning apostate, turning against the truths of their founding fathers.
When I see the church in the New Testament, they didn't have stately buildings. They didn't have paid evangelists. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have organization. They couldn't get on TV and beg. But I'll tell you what they did. They turned the world upside down. But are you big enough to say, Lord, in this crucial hour in human history, let me fill up the sufferings of Christ?
But if the Holy Spirit is truly, truly upon you in this generation, you will not be satisfied. You will not be found among those who sit in supposed houses of God with your feet on the altar rail and a cup of coffee in your hand, listening to a PowerPoint sermon about a Christ they don't know. You'll not be satisfied.
Because if you're going to get mature in God, all the dwarfs around you will criticize and sneer at you and say you're trying to be holier than the rest of us, huh? For God has not merely given us Jesus Christ, He's given us all things. And because there isn't enough joy in the house of God, we need entertainment. Because entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy.
We're living in a time, as the prophet Malachi said, when those who feared the Lord are going to get together one more time and think on His name, and a book of remembrance will be written for them, and they will return, and they will know the difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve Him.
Folks, we've got to deal with sin. We've got to deal with things that in life, you know, they're divorcing and all these things. We have to do something about it. We have to face a holy God one day.
There's a great trial coming, folks, for everyone. Praise God. He's going to deliver the true believer.
I want you to change your message. I'm telling you now, the judgment is at the door. The handwriting is on the wall. The whole world is shaking, and you're amusing this people.
Even if you have to bury your theology, sir, just bury it tonight and get right with God.
So turn from your sin, for all this society is about to come under the justice of God. Oh,
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where will you spend eternity? My Lord, that was a very, very good message by various preachers and teachers, and they were really bringing it out. So the question is, where will you spend eternity? Now, to be truthful, when you really think about it, eternity is something that we really can't fathom, because it doesn't deal with time at all. But the question is, where will you spend eternity? Now, another thing that we have to bring into question is, eternity also is a choice. Where will you choose to spend eternity? Now, that choice God has given to you. So when you think about that choice, God doesn't throw anybody in hell. And really, he really doesn't take anybody to heaven. You make that choice. You make the choice to go to either place. So you can't blame God for the evil that happens in your life when you make a choice to do evil. But what I'm getting ready to do, in reference to where will you spend eternity, I'm going to go directly to the Bible. And we're going to bring this out according to God's word, according to what the Lord says. And one thing I'd like to say also is that hell was not prepared for people in the first place. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, if people wind up there, they wind up there by their own choice in following the dictates of the devil and Satan. That's how people wind up in hell. It's not that God is just throwing people in hell. No, people choose to go to hell, as they can also choose to go to the heaven and participate in the kingdom of God, the place that God actually has prepared for people. Heaven and the kingdom of God was prepared by God for his people. All right, I want to establish that. God prepared heaven and the kingdom of God for people, for his people that he created in his likeness. So let's get that straight right there. Now I'm going to John 14. John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you go, you know. Now, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said he's preparing a place for us. Now, who is the us? The us is the people that believe and follow God and Christ. He said he's preparing a place for us that's beyond our imagination for the things that are good. We can't imagine the good and great things that God has prepared for them that love him and who are those who are the calling to his name. God has done this. So God is not destroying, it is not his desire to destroy us. It is not God's desire to destroy people. It is God's desire and the desire of Jesus Christ to save people and bring them into the kingdom of light. Now, here's something else I'd like to read to you. Luke 23:39-43. Now, 39 reads, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Look at that. Now you had one thief on the cross. You had another thief on another cross. Or a tree. You had Jesus Christ on the cross or the tree, whichever way you want to say it. And one of the thieves chose to go against Christ. The other thief, on the other hand, recognized who Christ was and submitted himself to Christ right there as he was dying and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, I know that you're the Messiah. I know you're the Son of God. So I want to make heaven my home. I want to get in the kingdom with you, Lord. And what did the Lord do? The Lord didn't deny him. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Which way do you want to go? What's the choice that you're going to make? One day everybody is going to leave this earth. We're going to lay down for the last time. So you have to make a decision right now. Where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? But the thing about it, you don't want to wait until you get on your deathbed, because no one knows when they're getting ready to leave this earth. No one knows when their time is up. So what that basically means is you're going to have to make a choice where you want to spend eternity. If you want to spend eternity with the evil one, the devil, in hell, or do you want to spend in eternity in the kingdom of God in heaven with God, with Jesus Christ? That's the choice you have to make while you're yet living, while you yet have your right mind. Because sometimes you don't know what state you're going to be in when you're laying on that bed for the last time. You don't know if you're going to have your right mind. You don't know if you're going to be gone in an instant. We don't know that. We don't know if you're going to have time to make the choice for Jesus Christ, to choose to make it into the kingdom, to choose to make it into heaven. You don't know how that's going to be. So right now, while you have your right mind and can make a choice, you can decide where you're going to spend eternity. Just as the thief on the cross, he made a decision right then. Rather than mocking God and saying, if you are the Christ, then save yourself and us. That's what the one said, but the other said, well, I don't have to think about that. I know you are the Christ. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He made the choice to go with God, to go with Christ. Now, you don't have to wait until you get on your last leg. You can do it tonight, or you can do it while you're yet in your right mind. You don't have to do all manner of evil and mess your life all up and allow the enemy to come in and beat you down and destroy you. You can make the choice now. But it's up to you. God is not going to force you. The enemy is the one who forces and goes against your will. God is not going to force you to follow him, even though he desires you to. Even though he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you while you're yet in sin, Christ Jesus, he still died for you. He loved you that much. Who's going to die for you? Nobody. Nobody's going to die for you that you might inherit eternal life. Nobody but Christ. And he's already done it. So he's made the way for you, where you can spend eternity with him in the kingdom of God, in heaven, in the kingdom of God. He's already worked that out for you. He's already done it. It's already done. It's already done. What you going to do with it? Now, listen to this. Luke 16, 19 through 31, starting at the 19th verse. Luke 16, 19 through 31. Now there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and in fine linen. This man fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. He was in a bad way. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, Jesus was the one who was saying this. Jesus made this analogy. Jesus said this. This is what happened. All right? And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither were they persuaded, though one rose from the dead. All right, children of God and people, whoever's listening. Now, in making this choice, the choice has to be made while you have life and while the blood is running warm in your veins. You cannot get so caught up in this world that you don't make space or time, or you don't give anything to God. You just take it for granted that you're going to make it in. Well, you know, I give a few alms. I might give a biscuit to somebody every now and then. I might say some good words to somebody, or what I might give charitable things to people. I might even do good works. I might even go to church or something. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, with God, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. The reason Lazarus made it into the kingdom because he had a relationship with God and Christ. He lived right. Of course, in his living right, if you notice, things didn't go very well for him in this natural life. But at the end of his natural life, when his spiritual life kicked in, he was in the bosom of Abraham. He didn't have to worry about anything. He wasn't tormented. He was in a good place, in a peaceful place. He didn't have to worry about suffering anymore, have to worry about being hungry anymore. He didn't have to worry about pain or torment, none of that, because in his life, Lazarus accepted God. He accepted Jesus Christ. So he made the choice of where he was going to spend eternity, even though his life wasn't that good. But on the other hand, this rich man had everything going for him. He ate good every day. He probably had the best of everything. Folks waited on him hand and foot. But when he died, he was buried, and he lifted up his eyes in hell, and he was tormented day and night to the point that he cried out to somebody that was righteous. Now, that's another thing that you need to consider. Those who leave this natural realm, they remember the life they lived on earth. They remember that. They remember the people that came to them and talked to them about God, talked to them about Christ, read the Bible to them. They remember when they heard the radio broadcast, or when they heard the television, or they saw television, they saw the preachers and the teachers preaching Jesus Christ. And if they're lost, that's what goes on all the time in their mind. and the devil repay it to him because he's going to torment him. You chose this place. That's what he's going to be telling. You chose to come here. You chose to come here. You chose to come here. In heaven, they're not tormented like that. It's joy, it's peace, it's love, it's understanding. All the good things you can imagine is in the kingdom. But in order to get to the kingdom, the choice that God's given you has to be made while you're in this life. Well, some people might believe when you die, you're just dead. Well, you know what? I wouldn't want to die and find out that I was wrong. It's too late then. You're dead. And you're in either one place or another. See, the thing about it, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in heaven or hell. It doesn't matter what you believe. Because the truth of the matter is that it is. You know, some people might not believe that there might be planets out in space that's gold. But that doesn't mean that they're not there. They could be there. Scientists have said that they're there. But just because somebody doesn't believe that doesn't take away a fact. So, you have to think about that. Where will you spend eternity? Oh, I don't believe. Well, you know, it's a lot of things you might not believe, but that doesn't nullify a fact. So think about that. Now, Luke 13:22-27, this is interesting also. It says, 22, and he went through the cities and villages, Jesus, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not from whence ye are. Then you shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. I'm going to read something else. This is a Matthew 7:13-14. It's basically the same scriptures, but it's a little different. So enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It said, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name has cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, somebody would think, well, why? I mean, they did the work for the Lord. I mean, they went to church. They cast out devils. They performed miracles. They did many wonderful works. And the Lord is saying he didn't even know them. And he said he didn't know them because they worked iniquity. In other words, what he's telling them is you did all these things for your own self. You didn't do it for me. You didn't do it because Jesus told them to do it. They did it because they had their own goals involved. They did it for money. They did it for fame. They did it for other reasons other than what God called them to do. So when they did that, they really separated themselves from God and Christ because they didn't have a real relationship with Christ. They didn't have a kingdom of God mindset in the things that they did. What they really did was try to use the name of Christ and use the things of God to push their own agenda. But see, God sees through all of that. So it's going to be people that's going to be standing before the Lord in the last day, and they're going to say that. They have deceived themselves to the point where they think godly works without a relationship with God or without repentance, without being saved, without being filled with the Spirit of God in them, that somehow God is just going to go strictly off of works. But it's not by works. It's not by works alone. First, you have to be saved. First, you have to be saved. You have to be filled with the Spirit of God or Holy Ghost, however way you want to say it, Spirit of God, Holy Ghost. You need that working in your life. Because and the love of God in you. Because if you don't have those things operating in your life, God is not seeing what you're doing. He doesn't know you because you're not operating in His Spirit. You see? It's a hard thing. You say, well, what does this have to do with spending eternity? Where you will spend eternity? It has everything to do with where you spend eternity. Because if your heart is not right in God, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, if you are living any kind of a way, the scripture tells us to follow peace with all men. Holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. Holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. And you can be holy and you can be sanctified through Jesus Christ. Those are not bad words. I didn't cuss you out when I said be sanctified and be holy. It's not a bad word. You have to have your mind and your heart. You have to be wholly saved, body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. So that means you can't allow your body to do anything and everything and think because, you know, God might, you might be able to go out and talk to a few people and they might be saved. You saw it. You might even go out and cast out some devils. You might do many wonderful works. But if iniquity is found in you and you're not doing this with the right motive and you're going out and you're practicing willful sin continually, unrepentant, then the Lord Jesus doesn't know you. Now, you think you might know him, but he doesn't know you. Because the whole thing about the kingdom of God, the whole thing in reference to where you're going to spend eternity is a life. It's a life. That's what it means. You give your life to Jesus Christ. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, that means you're going to live like the Lord as best as you can with all your body, soul, and your spirit. You're supposed to love the Lord with everything you have, body, soul, and spirit, with all your heart, all your soul, all your spirit, everything you have. You should love the Lord like that. Now, every now and then you might slip up. But that's when you can use the grace of God and repent, fall on your knees, repent, ask the Lord to forgive you, and he will. He will. He will. You have to humble yourself, repent, throw pride out of the way, throw it out of the way, and he'll restore you. Don't keep that stuff in. You're trying to make it into the kingdom. You're trying to make it into heaven. You're trying to please God. You don't want to be tricked by the enemy on where you're going to spend eternity. See, one thing about it, people, the devil All he does is work tricks, and a lot of times they're not new tricks. A lot of times they're old. He just dresses it up a different way, and he lies to you. He tells lies. He wants you to accept a perverted gospel. The devil, I'm saying the devil, wants you to accept a perverted gospel, because if you accept and receive a perverted gospel, then he can send his lies into it to weaken you more and more. And before you know it, you'll be heading to his kingdom thinking you're going to the kingdom of God. That's how the enemy works. See, that's how he works. He likes to trick you. He likes to deceive people, lie to people, weaken them, mess their mind up, and have them thinking they're pleasing God when they're not. Because he knows that there is no sin in the kingdom of God. There's not. There's no sin in the kingdom of God. There's no sickness in the kingdom of God. No disease, no death, no pain, none of that. None of that is in the kingdom of God. No demons, none of that. None of that. The kingdom of God is such a joyous place, is beyond our imagination. We can't even imagine how wonderful and how blessed the kingdom of God is. We can't imagine the great and wonderful things that God has in store for us in heaven. But on the other hand, we can't really imagine how horrible it is in hell. Whew. We can't imagine how hard. Our worst nightmare, whatever horrible nightmare you can ever conceive in your mind, is nothing compared to hell. That was prepared for the devil and his angels. I have to keep saying that, because God did not prepare hell for men or women or human beings or mankind. That place is for Satan and his demons. Remember, Satan was kicked out of heaven for doing wrong, for trying to take over the kingdom of God, for rebelling against God. That place was prepared for Satan, not for you. So why are you choosing to go there? Don't go there. Choose God. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Whether it be the God of the Amorites, let Joshua say, in this land that you now dwell. Or the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. What are you going to do? Are you going to serve the Lord? Are you going to be destroyed? Are you going to follow the way of the enemy? Are you going to follow the devil? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. While you're yet listening to me, while you're yet in your right mind, you can make the choice. You can make the choice of where you're going to spend eternity. God has done everything he can do to help you to be with him. He has sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ come down out of heaven, was born, and he lived. He walked upon the earth. He went up on the cross and died to secure your salvation, to secure your spot in heaven and in the kingdom of God. And not only did he do that, when he went back, he sent back the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to help us and to teach us all things in reference to the kingdom. Yes, he's already done that. And he is yet making intercession for us. Because the accuser, the devil, is always accusing us to the Father, pointing out our error, pointing out our faults, pointing out our sin. And Jesus is standing there and saying, no, that one is saved. He's saved. He's been delivered. My blood has covered him. I set him free back on Calvary. So he has the right to make it into the kingdom. He has the right to make it to heaven because he accepted me while he yet lived on the earth, while he's yet living. He made the choice to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Where will you spend eternity? It's your choice. Now, God doesn't throw you into hell. You throw yourself into hell. You get yourself into the kingdom of God in heaven. But it's by Christ Jesus. But you make the choice. You have to believe. But what are you believing in? Are you believing lies? Are you believing truth? The truth is the word of God. That's what it is. The truth is the word of God. You don't want to be like people, like Timothy was saying, you have people that are forever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth. What is that truth? That truth is Jesus Christ. That is that truth. If you don't accept Jesus Christ and the word of the Lord, then everything else can be a deception when it comes to the things of God. When it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to heaven, everything else other than the word of God can be a deception, can be a trick. You need to be careful. Where will you spend eternity? Think about that. Think about that. Now, we have 10 minutes left on the show. Our guest call-in number is 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. If you would desire to call in, you have time to do it. But like I said, the program was in Where Will You Spend Eternity? We played some portion of radio of Wake Up Church, and they were really bringing some good things out in reference to God, the kingdom, real life in God, true living in Christ. And at this point, whoever wants to call in, or if you want to go to the chat, if you want to go to the chat and send us a chat or send us a little message, you can do that also. It's Kingdom of God Ministry. You can go to the chat room and send us a chat, and we'll reply to you. But we're thankful that you've been listening on tonight. We pray that God would add a blessing to his word. And we want you to be blessed. We don't want you to be cursed. We want you to be blessed. And it's God's desire that you be blessed. But you can only be blessed. You want to truly be blessed in God, because if you're not blessed in God, you're going to be deceived. You're going to be deceived. You're going to be deceived, and you're going to wind up in a position that you don't want to be in. And that's the truth of the matter. All our hope, all our peace, all our grace is in God in Christ. I want you to remember that. All our deliverance, all our freedom is in God in Christ. Our health, our peace, our deliverance is in God in Christ. At this point, I'm going to play something for you to hear, and I'm waiting on anybody who would desire to call in at 323-375-0849. I'm going to let you listen to a song by Real. Here it is.
Yeah.
Who said hell was fake?
Yo, man, tell
and it's realer than you think, homeboy.
Right.
Yeah.
Hell ain't what you want. Hell ain't what you want.
Yeah.
Ain't what you want. Ain't what you want.
Hell ain't what you want.
Don't try to fake in front. Just let your sin and be blunt. This ain't a game of taunt. But is it worth to gain the world and lose your soul? Is it worth the goal? Tell me what your future holds. Where your heart lies. Is it in the Lord? Or is it in the hands of wicked eyes? Making your life hard, just in disguise. Cause he wanna steal your life. You need to give it to Christ. Better get right, cause it ain't nothing nice. Lost in the flames, nothing but pain. Nothing but memories going through your brain. Think of ways to change. Reject the message heaven sent. Feel for your mane. Ain't no way to come back. Once you're dead, you're gone. About to get judged by King of Kings on the throne. Now you sing us that song. Live by the crumb, die by the crumb. Eternal torment. The pit, lost in the pit. The pit of hell where them demons dwell. Where everybody that worship hell. Yelling at the top of their lungs. It ain't fair. You ended up where you didn't want to go. Nah, I guess you didn't care. But I guess you the joke. Forgot the words that got spoke. At the end of your rope. Your choke. Smelling like smoke. You ain't dreaming, you woke. Too much screaming. Now you look into the face of demons. Can't cope. Too much to bear. But you can't go nowhere. I bet the earth you miss. Forever stuck in the abyss.
You on fire. You on fire. Come and follow me and I'll show you the Messiah. You on fire. You on fire. Come and follow me and I'll show you the Messiah. You on fire. You on fire. Come and follow me and I'll show you the Messiah. You on fire. You on fire. Come and follow me and I'll show you the Messiah.
Hell ain't what you want,
ain't what you want,
ain't what you want,
ain't what you want.
Hell ain't what you want,
ain't what you want,
ain't what you want.
Let's go!
Remember in the day when the devil had a grip on my soul, and I know where I would've went if I would've stopped breathing. Hell bent pursuing the life of a heathen. No, dealt with them demons that kept a brother sinning. Selling crack to fiends, I had my father grinning. Biting the bait of Satan like a rat on the trap. My heart was vacant and I couldn't see my way back. To the day I got jacked, standing at the crossroads. 380 to my dome, and I didn't even know I was about to lose my soul. Drunk and high, I was blown. Faded from that hydro, would've been a case closed. To be deep, another victim in the streets. Ain't no rest in peace if I gotta dwell with the beast. And that's not a place created for me. Cause Jesus, he set me free when he died on Calvary. So I said, Lord, come into my life. I can't die without Christ. It ain't even nothing nice. I said, oh Lord, come into my life. I can't die without Christ. It ain't even nothing nice.
You on fire. You on fire. Come and follow me and I'll show you the Messiah. You on fire. You on fire. Come and follow me and I'll show you the Messiah. You on fire. You on fire. Come and follow me and I'll show you the Messiah. You on fire. You on fire. Come and follow me and I'll show you the Messiah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for his word on tonight. And I would also like to say that when you make in your mind up to go with the Lord, there's only one way. That way is Jesus Christ. That's it. Some people might want to say there are many ways to get to God. No, there are many ways to get to God. We have a caller. Caller, you're online. You're on air. Caller?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, can you
I hear
me?
You. Yes, I can hear you very well.
How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
See, I'm actually fine. Thank you very much. Pretty much to introduce myself, I'm actually a born Muslim American.
I hear you.
See, I was forced at 16. My parents were completely strict about it. You know, if I didn't do it, they would ridicule me for it. And you know, I was forced to have sex at 17. What advice would you guys give me for this? Because I've seriously been really hurt by this.
Okay. Okay. All right, I'm going to do, because we're about to go off in 2 minutes, 323.
Right.
I got your phone number here. What I'm going to do is call you back at the end of the show, because it's probably, I don't think I can tell you everything that I need to tell you in 2 minutes.
Right.
But what I'm going to do, what I can do right now, I'm going to pray with you in that regard, and we're going to lift you up to the Lord, and then I'm going to call you right back immediately after these 3 minutes are up. If you so desire, I can get your first name, and that's it.
My first name?
Hello? Yeah.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
My first name is Ali.
Ali? All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift Ali up to you, Lord, that you would comfort his mind and heart, Lord. Touch him and bless him right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Now, Ali, what I'm going to do, we're going to be off the air in about a minute and 30 seconds. As soon as we're off, I'm going to call you back and talk to you personally, okay?
Okay.
And I mean that. I'm going to call you right back, all right?
All right.
Ali? Okay. Okay. Ali, we're going to end the show right now, and I'm going to call you right back, okay? I'm going to put you on mute a minute. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the show. We lift up Ali to you, Father, that you would bless him and keep him in all righteousness, Father, in Jesus' name. Father God, we ask that your word go out and be a blessing to your people. Touch them, bless their mind, soul, and body, Lord, that your will be done in their life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen.